Well, let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll start reading tonight in verse 21. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Well, the Corinthians had a few problems that Paul begins to address, and again, we need to go back to the book of Romans as being the foundation of all of the Pauline epistles, and we realize that in Romans 1, 2, and 3, we find out that there was a time that men knew God, but they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and the scripture says their foolish heart was darkened. Well, let's consider that for a moment. Their foolish heart was darkened. In what way was their heart darkened? Did God come and give them a lobotomy so that they couldn't think about God anymore? How would you think that their heart was darkened? What was the mechanism that caused the darkening of their heart? Because the scripture was clear there. The scripture said that when they knew God, so there was a time when they knew God, but they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Well, what caused the vanity of their imaginations? If we think about that for a minute, maybe we'll see what's starting to creep into this church at Corinth. And you know, when we read 1 Corinthians here, we should read every church that exists in the world today. We know that we live in the Laodicean age, and that something is a great spoiler in the church, and we need to know what it is, lest we be taken in the same mechanism. So this is really important stuff. Okay, part of it was pride, sure. That was the thing that brought the devil down, and certainly he passed that on to mankind. So pride causes men's heart to be darkened. Okay. Yes, rebellion with a high hand. They simply refused to recognize him as God. What was the mechanism that caused them to rebel in that way? What caused them to rebel against God with a high hand in refusing to admit that he's God? Exactly. That's what happened in the fall. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Well, the little g gods got lifted up in their pride, and of course the first thing to do is deny the real God. So, they did that. But, you know, pride, well, it goes before destruction, in a haughty spirit before a fall. But how did the pride push the knowledge of God into darkness? In other words, the scripture says, but when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, and their heart was darkened, which means that their understanding was darkened. They couldn't see him for who he was anymore.
Well, I've dealt with people that were very intelligent. They thought they were smarter than God. They, they didn't
Mm-hmm. Yes. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Why, I believe that's in the same passage of Scripture we're talking about. Why is Paul warning the Corinthians against this worldly wisdom stuff? Because this is what caused the people in Romans 1, 2, and 3 to get into the condition they were in the first place. Do you think it's possible that people can get to thinking that they're smarter than they are and end up deceiving themselves? Sure. Now, Paul is talking primarily here about Greek philosophy, but it's not going to be very long before Greek philosophy is going to start getting mixed up with the Scriptures and mixed up with theology. Ooh, that's going to be a witch's brew, isn't it? What might that lead to? See, we have the advantage of being able to look backwards in time, back to the time that these Corinthians actually lived on the planet, and maybe in the 100 or so years after that. Was there a synergy or synthesis of Christian teaching with Greek philosophy? You were going to say something, Brother Paul? Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. The idea of a clergy. Yeah. Different classes of Christians. Yes. Can we look back in history and actually call out a system that actually has a name? Gnosticism. Gnosticism. It actually married philosophy with biblical teaching and came up with a noxious brew. One that John writes a polemic against. Don't get tangled up in it. He debunks Gnosticism in 1 John. You can't fool us. We know that we're not dealing with a phantasmagoria because we actually touched him. We handled him. We ate with him. No, he was no ghost. He was the real thing. So John debunks that. But many, many others are going to come along that are going to do the same thing. How many of us have heard of Augustine? Origen? These are people very early on, not very long after Paul writes this epistle to the Corinthians, these people start coming onto the scene and they do exactly what Paul warns the church at Corinth not to do. And yet churches today will study the writings of Augustine, and they'll study the writings of Origen, and they completely ignore Paul. I wonder if churchianity's gotten into the same place that the world was in Romans 1, 2, and 3. They don't want to have him in their minds anymore. Okay. Verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We already explained about the foolishness of preaching, so we won't go over that again tonight. But we want to zero in on verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Let's talk about the Jews just for a moment. The Jews require a sign. What do we know about the Jews and their constantly wanting to see a sign? Yes, show us a sign so they'd get a sign, show us another sign so they'd get another sign. Well, what is that telling us about the Jews? Would you say maybe that the Jews had a predisposition against believing? You know, when people have a predisposition or they're already turned a certain way, it's much more difficult to convince them of the truth of something because they have to give up their falsely held notion in order to believe the truth. And I think most of us know that it's easier to learn how to do a thing right from the get-go rather than to learn how to do it the wrong way and then have to go back and unlearn everything that we learned and then relearn it the right way. Well, the same thing is true in spiritual things. Religious people are much more difficult to deal with. Why do you suppose the Jews required a sign? Why did they have a natural predisposition against looking at the sign and saying, okay, we get it? What do we know about the Jews? Yes, that's right. They had a long history of being stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Ghost. Your forefathers did it, and you do it. Is that any different, though, than the Gentiles? No, the human heart is predisposed. Romans 1, 2, and 3 deals with both Jew and Gentile, doesn't it? They're all under the same condemnation of unbelief. Do you think it's worse in the case of the Jews, though? You know, the Jews have been through a lot of stuff that God never put any of the Gentiles through. Stop and think about it for a moment. Do you think it's a more egregious sin? Do you think the Jews are sinning with a higher hand than the Gentiles are? What? Okay, in what way? Okay, but you know, the Gentiles really had the truth too, because there was a time that they knew God. What are some aggravating factors in the case of the Jews? Yes, they were chosen by God and called out by God, and they liked to know themselves as God's chosen people, which is true. Yeah, that makes their unbelief more egregious, doesn't it? What about some other things? Yeah, you wonder how it could have come to that. His blood be upon us and upon our children. What were they thinking? Even if they had unjustly shed the blood of another human being, why, we know what happened in Cain's case. Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground? Okay. Is there something else? What I'm trying to do is get you to see how egregious a thing this is that the human race blows God off, if you want to put it that way. So the Jews were a chosen people. They very well knew their history. They had crucified their own Messiah. What are some other things, some aggravating factors? You know, prosecutors like to talk about aggravating factors, don't they? There you go. They were given the oracles of God. They had the very word of God, something that was entrusted especially to them and nobody else. I'd say that's a huge aggravating factor. And then you can bring it up again, Brother Paul. What did they see? Speaking about signs. Oh, they saw signs and miracles right from the get-go. From the time of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob through the bondage in Egypt, the Exodus. He did. He showed his mercy over and over. And yet they're stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Would you say that if we could have taken the Greeks as a whole and juxtaposed the Greeks and the Jews, the outcome would have been different? Suppose God had chosen the Greeks instead of Abraham. No. So what we're really saying is what's happening to the Jews here is really endemic to the human race. It's just that there's so many aggravating factors on this, you start to see you can't trust a human being with anything. The Jews require a sign. Now the Greeks seek after wisdom. Let's talk about that for a moment. You know, Paul is really calling out the human race here again, isn't he? To these Corinthians, beware. Remember what I showed you in Romans, how that the whole world is guilty before God, whether they be Jews or Greeks. He's kind of reiterating this to the Corinthians, isn't he? Well, the Greeks seek after wisdom. How would the seeking after wisdom cause their hearts to be darkened? Yes, they elevated their own wisdom. They tried to use their own human reasoning because, after all, they were what? Little g, gods. And so, therefore, as they were making up their own religions, it had to be right because they got to be the gods of their own religions. Well, naturally, if you're the god of your own religion, that's going to cause you not to know very much about the real one. Sure. Verse 22, for the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Well, we just got done talking about the Jews and their signs and the Greeks and their wisdom. Now Paul carries it a step farther here and says, but we preach Christ crucified. Notice that he doesn't bring up the burial or the resurrection. He just says, we preach Christ crucified. That ought to give us a hint. Unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. Well, why would the crucifixion of Christ be unto the Jews a stumbling block? This is interesting, and it got touched on last week. They kept asking for signs, and they got their signs. And yet he was crucified, and it was a stumbling block, even after he gave him the sign of the prophet Jonas. I'm sorry, Brother Kirby. He not only claimed he was God, he gave him the signs to prove that he was, but it was still a stumbling block. How could that be?
Well, they just, like you said, they're just a carpenter's son. They just never seemed to get it. He tried to prove them and prove to them and tell them, and they just refused to believe it. So I don't think the crucifixion meant that much to them.
Yeah. They must have thought Pilate was off his rocker. Pilate had crucified so many other Jews, but he doesn't want to crucify this one? What's up with that? But what do you suppose caused them to crucify him in the first place? What caused their rank unbelief? Were there some mitigating factors here? Could they have been looking for the wrong thing? Hint, hint. Exactly. What was one of the things that they would have seen in the oracles of God that would have made Jesus look like, this can't be right? Well, sure. It looked like there were almost two messiahs in the Old Testament, remember? One was the great conquering hero that was going to set Israel at the head of the nations, and the other was a suffering messiah. Whoa. Why would a suffering messiah be a stumbling block to the Jews? Could you say because he'd be the exact opposite of the conquering hero? Sure. They wanted to get rid of the Roman influence. They sure did. In fact, that was the last question that they asked the Lord before he ascended. So their minds were still on that. But what could have caused the crucifixion to become a stumbling block then? Would you say that... Mm-hmm. Even though John the Baptist had said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And here they are doing the Passover. Wow. Those are some pretty powerful things, aren't they?
One of the part of their stumbling block was the fact that they were so stuffed with religion. They were so high and mighty that when he came to us all and tried to tell the truth, he said,
sounds like they almost did the same thing the Greeks did. They mixed in the philosophy of their rabbins and their great teachers with the scriptures and came up with some pretty ridiculous things. But do you suppose the idea of having somebody as the king of Israel, a person that was crucified on a Roman cross, a little repulsive? We were looking for this king, and instead we get this despised and rejected of men and a man of sorrows. Do you think maybe even the Jews had absorbed so much worldliness that they were looking for this large conqueror, like the Greeks had Alexander the Great, the Medes and the Persians had Darius? Where's ours? Oh, Saul! Seems to me they did do an experiment that way one time. Go ahead. It's possible. It's possible. That's one of the things that the worldling would associate with power, is plunder. Actually, they'd have probably been enthroned in power.
But in their eyes, they were looking at it.
Oh, yes. In fact, that's one of the things that the chief priest said. You know, if we let this guy hang around, then the Romans will come and take away our place. In other words, the Romans were half disposed to get rid of the Jewish clergy already. They sure were. Pilate had mingled the blood to some of the Galileans with their sacrifices already. But yeah, they were looking out for themselves. This Jesus is stirring up a lot of trouble. The Romans are going to clamp down. And our end will be worse than it began. Yeah, there was that. There's a whole lot of factors here that makes the Jew just like everybody else in the world. They also had a philosophy. Might is right. They were almost looking to use their Messiah rather than to worship him. Can you see that? What's this guy going to do for us? Well, that's the same mentality that half the people in this country have about the politicians. What are you going to do for us? The same thing. The Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block. He's no good to us. If he can be crucified, then he isn't the king we're looking for. A stumbling block. And unto the Greeks, foolishness. Why would the crucifixion of Christ be unto the Greeks foolishness? You know, these attitudes are still out there in the world today. Sadly, they're within churches. That's why Paul is reminding a church here of these things. Why would the preaching of the crucifixion of Christ seem foolishness to a Greek? Think about Mars Hill, back in the book of Acts. Here comes Paul strolling into town. He sees this sign or shrine to the unknown god. And he goes up and he's going to tell these Athenians who really wanted to hear some new thing. That's what they got together for. Well, let me tell you about this unknown god. And they mocked him. Now, Paul was preaching the resurrection to them. It's true. But in order to preach the resurrection, he must have told them about the crucifixion. Why would those Greeks on Mars Hill have thought, that's crazy. You're trying to tell us that somebody crucified God? Hint, hint. Yeah, their gods were up on Mount Olympus throwing thunderbolts. They came down like Barak coming out of his Greek temple at the convention. Came down to commune with lowly men. Why, they couldn't conceive of what appeared to be weakness. You say that this Jesus is God and they hung him on a Roman gibbet? Give us a break. What kind of a God do you people worship anyway? Well, certainly. Wasn't that one of the taunts? If you're really Christ, come down from the cross and save yourself? Yeah. The stumbling block people beat the Greeks too, that one. Wow. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Now, what do you think kind of undergirds both of these positions? To the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. Why would the crucifixion of Christ been unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness? What is the basic underlying thing that they didn't see that made the crucifixion necessary, but they didn't understand that? That's as much hint as you get. They didn't see themselves as sinners, and they didn't realize that it had to be paid for. Was Hammurabi a Jew? Wasn't he the eye for an eye and the tooth for a tooth guy? Wasn't that a tenet of Roman law? Didn't even the Greeks believe in that? Why, sure they did. Didn't the Jews believe in that too? Yes, they did. And yet Jew and Greek did not realize that in order to be right with the real God, the sin had to be paid for. What was the Day of Atonement about? The Jews should have caught on, shouldn't they? And the Passover, two of the main feasts. The underlying thing is that man doesn't see his sin. He doesn't see himself as a sinner. So the crucifixion of Christ is going to be foolishness. What do we need that for? The Jews had bank account religion just like the Gentiles. They vainly imagined that they'd kept the laws of Moses and they were okay with God. Do you suppose that could creep into the churches? Oh man, don't you know it can. That's why Paul is bringing these things out to the church at Corinth. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, we want to thank you tonight for your wonderful word. Lord, help us to gain an understanding of these things. For Lord, if the church today understood these things, it wouldn't be lukewarm. But Lord, it'd still be a Philadelphian church. Lord, help us to understand this, we who are called. In Jesus' name, amen.